Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. This is our Patreon TV review for SmackDown tonight, a momentous SmackDown. And for those of you who aren't on our Patreon, this is going to be a bonus Saturday show. We're not going to do it probably ever again. And those of you patrons who have paid for our Patreon subscription over at patreon.com/totalengage, or wait a second, I've got one of those cool new domains, wrestlingfriend.com. That's right, wrestlingfriend.com, where I'm going to give you another bonus show just for being my friend. And also because if you're paying for the extra shows, you're going to get the extra shows. But because of the momentous SmackDown that happened, and also to tell more people about the Patreon one more time, we're going to do a bonus show tonight, which is going to talk about SmackDown, a little bit about the events leading up to SmackDown, and also the fallout. And for those of you who have not listened to one of our Patreon shows before, it's a little different than our regular shows. It's going to be a little bit longer. And also, I don't edit as much, so you're going to probably hear more ums and ahs and swallows and coughs and all those things that happen to somebody who has zero radio experience. That's right. People are weirded out by that. I've never, ever been on radio, and I've never had a podcast or anything before a year and a half ago, before Terry Runnels called me. And I'd say I'm doing okay. I'm just a year and a half in. So bear with me here, but we're going to do the SmackDown review show. Of course, we've all heard the story, or have we? There's so many questions to be answered about what happened in Saudi Arabia, and also even logistics stuff like how many planes were there? Did the talent actually pay for their own flight? Yes, they did, by the way. I talked to talent today. I can't say a couple things they told me, but I will say they were not happy. The ones I talked to, and that's two total that I talked to, were not happy, and they had not left yet, and that talent did purchase a charter. The one that left, I think, third. I think there was a Brock plane, there was a Vince plane, and then I heard there was a plane where 12 people got on who were talent, and then I heard there was a chartered plane that they paid for, and then the rest stayed back. And the rest stayed back, and last I heard was that just, I would say about 5 minutes before I'm recording this at about 10 o'clock p.m., was that they were on the plane and they can't wait for the wheels to leave the ground, quote unquote. And so because of that, nobody from SmackDown except Brock Lesnar was there. And, you know, when it started out, it seemed like this was going to be a rough show, because we heard that NXT talent was going to be there, but Brock Lesnar, they seemed like they were stretching a little bit, didn't they? They had like, they showed the whole match that they did at Crown Jewel. It was like 2.5 minutes long at most. And then they showed like the Rey attack. And Paul Heyman was great. But then Brock said, okay, well, if you're not going to come to me, Rey Mysterio, I'm going to go to you. So I'm quitting SmackDown, which to me is the kind of lead that's been buried in this whole thing, because the invasion's not going to go on forever. The NXT invasion and angle's not going to go on forever. But Brock Lesnar is now on Raw, and they had a whole draft, and the whole point is to make everything as even as possible, or distribute the talent, or whatever it is they did. And now Brock Lesnar's able just to go, okay, well, never mind all that. I'm going to go to Raw, which I thought was weird. And then as they walked off, you saw Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And so then you knew something was up. You knew they were definitely going to do the NXT thing. The next segment was SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley against Nikki Cross. I mean, it was an okay match. It wasn't anything exciting. For me, Bayley just doesn't smile now. She's got a haircut now. And I think she's still trying to find her range with that character, with the heel character. I don't know if Pouty Bayley is good. I want full evil Bayley. I think you go all the way with it. You don't just go halfway. Shayna Baszler ran through the crowd and attacked Banks, and the fans broke into NXT chant. She jumped in the ring and she beat down. Well, she beat up Sasha, who was outside, and then she kind of threw Cross and she was down. She went into Bayley. She attacked her. She did her little gut wrench flat suplex, and then she nailed her with a knee. Then she went out back. And I thought it was really weird that she seemed out of breath. She seemed like she was like huffing and puffing. And I thought maybe she's just excited. And the reality, I think, was that they just made it after the show started. So the reason they were stretching the beginning and the reason that they took their time in the Bayley match was because the NXT talent wasn't even there yet. And so that turned out great. I thought the run-in was great. And what we saw was the beginning of a night of domination by NXT. Not just run-ins from NXT, but domination. In the back, you had Sami Zayn, who was talking a lot of shit. He said there's NXT stars there tonight. And he talked about his NXT credentials and history. And then he said if anybody from NXT tries to step to him, they're going to have a problem. And who do you see? And this was kind of the predictable shit where he just like looked up all of a sudden. And there's Matt Riddle and Keith Lee. I got to say, Matt Riddle to me kind of popped off the screen. Keith Lee is great. I don't think he's had as much experience maybe in, you know, the TV aspect. I mean, he hasn't had that much less than Matt Riddle. But something about Matt Riddle strikes me as a future main eventer. My buddy Mark disagrees with that. But he doesn't listen to the show, so he doesn't know what he's talking about. He also hates Sami Zayn, and I'm a big Sami Zayn guy. They said, okay, step to us. And Zayn's like, no, we good, we good. He's like, let me go to my car. They're like, we'll follow you. He ran to the ring, and they both attacked him. Riddle kicked his shoes off. He hit him with a knee. He hit him with a finisher. And then Keith Lee is such a big guy. I think he's going to be a big star. And he hit a massive moonsault off the second rope. And then they showed Tyson Fury defeating Braun Strowman. I fell asleep. I'm joking. Then The Miz came out for Miz TV. And he was supposed to interview The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. But he said, well, Bray Wyatt's not here because the Murder Clown is flying on an airplane from Saudi Arabia. He said, hey, NXT, you attacked Bayley, and then you guys attacked Sami Zayn, and what's going on? And then all of a sudden, you hear that Ciampa music. And I got to say, I think he said it's Tommaso Ciampa. Ciampa. I always call him Ciampa. He came in, and you got to say that NXT music, to me, is on point. I love the NXT music, whether it is Matt Riddle's Gin and Juice, Dr. Dre-inspired music, or whether it's Ciampa's music or the Undisputed Era's music or Velveteen Dream. I love all the NXT music. I think they do a really good job with that. Ciampa came out, and Miz did just one hell of a promo. Just when Miz needs to step up, he does. And he is one of the best promos maybe in the history of wrestling. I'm going to say maybe definitely top 20. Like, he's a great promo, and when he's on his top, there's no one better than him right now. If you remember his promo with Daniel Bryan a couple years ago, and that just says something, because how many guys can you name that you remember a promo they did? It used to be you could do that all the time, right? You could say, okay, Jake the Snake Roberts, when he says to Ted DiBiase, as you wallow in the pit, the victim of your own avarice. See, I remember that. Or when you think about Dusty Rhodes, Hard Times promo, or any Ric Flair promo. But The Miz really is a great promo because you can remember a couple of his promos. I even remember some of the promos he did with The Rock and John Cena. He challenged Ciampa, challenged Miz to a match, and they had a match, and Miz did really good here. I think some people, when Miz has a good match, they treat him like he's 6 years old. They're like, Miz did so good. Miz was fantastic. Look at Miz go. And he did really good. And I think Ciampa brought him into a really good match. Miz once in a while looks out of place with guys who are super skilled, but not really. Like, he looked fine with The Rock, and he looked fine with John Cena, and he looked fine with CM Punk. And he's a good wrestler, and I think he's somebody who they could shoot to the top again. I think they kind of keep him there as a backup plan. That's just my guess. But Ciampa hit him, beat him fair and square with a fairy tale ending for the win. And the commentator said this is a massive win for Ciampa. And I guess what we're all going to do is we're all going to use our Men in Black stick and forget that Ciampa was on the main roster till he got injured in a match against The Bar, I believe. I remember him taking a brutal move from Sheamus, surprisingly enough. In the back, Daniel Bryan approached Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Bryan's like, what the fuck is up? If there's one mistake I think they made, and you can't be too critical of NXT tonight because they didn't make a whole bunch of mistakes, but if there's, I mean, and they had a lot to do, but there's one mistake they made. They didn't really impart a sense of urgency among the people there that, oh shit, NXT's here. We got to watch our backs. But Bryan kind of did, and he went up to Triple H. He went face to face with Triple H. He said, hey, I want to wrestle you. And Triple H is like, I didn't bring my gear. And then Shawn Michaels took off his jacket. I'm not someone who thinks Shawn Michaels is funny. I'm not someone who liked the last couple incarnations of DX because they weren't funny. What I did think is that this was very funny by Shawn Michaels when he said, ooh, it's cold. Ooh, it's cold. And he put his jacket back on. It was great. And then you saw Adam Cole. And that was something you have to give credit to because, as we'll talk about, anybody really could have booked this show and made it a good show, right? If you said, okay, here's who we got. We got Sami Zayn. We've got Daniel Bryan. We've got Bayley. We've got all the NXT roster. What can you do in one night? And, you know, coming up with this match was a great idea. Cole against Bryan for the NXT Championship. They set up the main event. And also they did that for later in the show, which I always like as opposed to right now, playa. Not a big fan of that. Fire and Desire were in the ring waiting for Dana Brooke and Carmella. Mercifully, that match did not happen. They cut to the back, and Bianca Belair was beating the crap out of Brooks and Carmella. Carmella looked a little bit like she had a headache, but I'm not sure how you're supposed to sell something if you're sitting up. They probably told her to sit up. She did the best she could. But Bianca Belair is awesome, and she press-slammed Carmella. And then in the arena, Fire and Desire's in the ring, and Rhea Ripley and Tegan Nox comes out, which I thought was kind of a strange pairing. But what are you going to do? They just put all the people on a plane and sent them up. And Ripley and Nox dominated the match. Ripley, you know, showed why she is a fearsome competitor. And I'm not sure, again, Tegan Nox is just not at that level, but she's cute and she can wrestle and she has a great look and she's very appealing. And I thought that was a good segment, mostly to get over Rhea Ripley. Then Triple H and Shawn Michaels came out to the ring and sat at ringside. And before we get to this, let me remind you, this is a bonus show, and it is available from now on. Our TV reports forever and ever and ever are going to be at Wrestling Friend. So wrestlingfriend.com. Go over there and support the show. Support the show so we can keep doing this every day. We're getting a lot of downloads. We've got a lot of people. I don't want to throw a lot of commercials on these shows. I really don't. I've got a lot of people interested in advertising on the show. I've got people, you know, like your standard sponsors that are just waiting. And I'm kind of putting them off because I want to see if we can do this Patreon thing so I don't have to throw a whole bunch of commercials on there. And if you're one of the listeners and want to advertise, you can do that as well just using the Patreon. And that way, at least if we have an add-on show, it comes from one of the listeners, which I love. But if you want to support the show, support what we do, if you're a fan and you can afford a few pennies a day, please go to wrestlingfriend.com. Now, as I said, Triple H and Shawn Michaels came to the ring down at ringside to watch the match. Not sure why they were down there, except to make it look like a bigger deal. Stephanie McMahon came out then and talked about the women's evolution. She spoke about Natalya and Lacey Evans at Crown Jewel yesterday. You know, I thought it was fine. I talked about it on the Patreon where we did our review show for the Crown Jewel. NXT champion Adam Cole against Daniel Bryan. Roderick Strong came out and walked out with Cole, but then Cole sent him to the back. I wanted to see what kind of reaction Adam Cole would get, because there's something about Cole, I got to be honest, it's something I don't see, I don't think. I think he's made for the younger wrestling fan, and I think that's the difference between me and a lot of other wrestling fans my age, is that if I don't get it, but I see the fans into it, I go, okay, fuck it, there's something there. And slowly but surely, Cole's grown on me. But there's something that he does, you know, when he comes out to that music, and the music's great, and he does the boom. I wanted to see, would the fans react to the boom? They sure did. They knew it was coming. And the Adam Cole, baby, was great. It was as big a chant, a unison moment, as you'll find on the main roster. If you ever go to a takeover, though, and I've been to a few, that Adam Cole, baby, is loud as hell. And it's kind of exciting. And it was a little goosebump moment to hear the fans react to the boom and the Adam Cole, baby. And then the match started. And it's something, you know, imagine a few years ago, you know, where you had Bryan Danielson against Adam Cole, and you've got Triple H and Shawn Michaels at ringside, and you have a third brand. And sometimes you have to take a step back as a fan and go, wow, this is a little surreal. Not something I thought would ever happen. the match was really good. It got heated by the end. They built up. These guys really worked and were given time to have a long match. And luckily, you know, with the talent issue, they could have that. They did. Brian got the early advantage with chops in the corner, and Cole slowed the pace down with a side headlock. And that's kind of classic heel work. You slow it down. And that's what's interesting about Cole is I don't know how well he can work as an undersized heel. He's going to have to cheat. Is what's going to have to happen. He's going to have to cheat because I talked in length about this with a talent, like within the last couple days, about heels need to do heel stuff and baby faces need to do baby face stuff. I always feel like such a douchebag when I say the word heel or baby face to a wrestler because, like, it makes me feel like I'm trying to be like you, but I'm such a big fan, but I want to be respectful. So sometimes I'll say good guys and bad guys, but I think that sounds markish too. It's one of those things where you don't know what to say. But anyway, heels need to do bad guy stuff. Baby faces need to do good guy stuff. So Cole, I think to get over, there's another one I hate to use, but some of these words are just so descriptive. They're great. Like work yourself into a shoot is an expression that I think I've seen applied in real life. And there's not another phrase outside of wrestling that works as well as that one. But anyway, for Cole to get over, I think he's going to have to cheat more if he's going to be a heel. Otherwise, he's going to be an undersized babyface because he's such a small guy. Now, I know he's a small guy, but he was also over. But you have to protect him. If you've got him standing in next to, I don't know, like even a Miz, you know, he's going to look very small next to a Miz. So I'm not one of these guys. You know, when I worked with Russo, I would always defend this proposition that Finn's too small to face Drew McIntyre. I never bought that on its face. I still don't. I'm a big Marco supporter. I think people suspend disbelief when and where they want as a choice, not as a principle. But I think you need to be smart at hiding certain deficiencies and maximizing things that are pluses for people. For instance, everyone says in ECW, Paul Heyman had a guy who couldn't wrestle, but he could chokeslam people, and they got him over 9-1-1. And I think they need to take that approach with everybody, and Cole especially, because he's coming in with such a great headwind. And I think, well, we'll talk. They need a little bit more characterization of who these guys are and why they do what they do. I say it all the time. I'd love to see it on the main roster more and more. They fought back and forth. Brian hit Cole with a head kick. Brian worked over the elbow and used a surfboard. Brian uses a surfboard. What a shock. What a shock. Brian used a surfboard. He looked right at Triple H as he locked in the submission. I wonder if that's a precursor. I wonder if that's where they're going after this. It seems like the seeds were planted. I hadn't thought about that, but I think that's what's going to happen. Cole fought back with a boot for a near fall. On commentary, Tom Phillips noted that Cole's competing with a fractured hand. Damn, that sucks. I know that hurts. Brian then suplexed Cole, but they were too close to the ropes and they both fell to the floor. And then they went to the break. And something happened during the break because when we came back from the break, the crowd was more amped up than it was into the break, which is very rare. So it is a case of this crowd, I think, for the most part. A lot of them knew who the NXT guys were, but it's not an NXT crowd. It's a SmackDown crowd, which is people that pay money for tickets, but a lot more casuals than you'll find at, say, an NXT TakeOver event, right? And I think that being the case, when you have Brian and Cole in there, they're going to work a long match and they know how to get the crowd into it. And the longer the match goes with those two guys, the more they'll get the crowd into it. The question is, will TV go along with it? For me, I was great. For new fans, I'm not sure. For Fox, I definitely don't know. Back from the break, Cole scored a close near fall on Brian. He followed up with a figure four headlock. Brian fought back and ran wild. He ran up the turnbuckle and hit Cole with a drop kick. You know, it's interesting, Brian holding the ropes down, those drop kicks. I think when he came back after his absence, his timing was a little off on those drop kicks, and he kept hitting his head against the mat. And now you see he grabs the ropes every time. And I think he's just going to do that from now on. I think it looks fine. Brian threw Cole to the floor, and Cole's back hit the apron. Brian followed up with a missile drop kick and hit the running drop kick in the corner. I guess that's the one I was talking about. Brian rocked Cole with uppercuts, but Cole hit a big boot for a two count. And then Brian threw Cole out of the ring in front of Triple H and Michaels. I think we can tease Brian Michaels as well. I would like to see either one of them in there with Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan's full baby face now, which I love too. Bryan then hit a great suicide dive, and then he tried another one, but Cole cut him off with a kick. I thought that was a great spot. They went to another break, and the crowd was even more into it at this point. Bryan gave Cole a German suplex off the top rope, and the way that Cole landed, I looked at my phone just for a second. I looked up and I saw a head hit the mat, and I was like, oh God. And then I was like, oh, it's just Cole. But that's not the way you should think, right? You should be, oh my God, don't hit your heads. But we're always on guard, aren't we, as fans, of like Daniel Bryan and his head? Because every time his head gets close or you think his head could get hurt, at least I do, I kind of go, okay, careful, careful, careful. He went for the diving headbutt, but nobody was home. That's one of those things that he should have been careful about. Cole attempted the last shot, but Bryan countered with a half crab. And then Bryan put on the lapel lock, but Cole broke free. And then Bryan kicked Cole in the face and used the lapel lock again, but Cole made the rope. So you see what's going on. They're setting up the story. Bryan's trying to get the submission with the lapel lock, and Cole is trying to win with more impactful maneuvers. And then the yes kicks and the yes movement's back. Please don't call the yes movement anymore. WWE, just don't co-opt it. Don't take control of it. Just let it happen. Because the minute you start going, it's the yes movement, let's get a t-shirt, the shit dies. Don't do that. Bryan went for the running knee, but Cole hit a great super kick and followed up with a Panama Sunrise. And at this point, it's funny, at this point, I was just thinking, wow, I think the money, like the real money, if you want to make this a hot feud, is to have Bryan win the NXT Championship. I would have done that. It might have been a mistake, but I would have done that. But the minute I tweeted that, Cole hit the last shot, which is, you know, his shining wizard to retain the NXT Championship. So I just deleted the tweet. Never happened. After the match, all the NXT stars came out, and Triple H talked about building an army. He gave a good promo. It wasn't a great promo. It was so close. I think he should have wrote up some notes ahead of time. You could tell he was winging it, but I think if he would have wrote a couple notes and memorized a couple points for himself and prepared his promo a little bit, it would have been better. You know, he had some ideas, but it wasn't 1,000%. But the shot of all of them in the ring together, and also them kind of twisting the narrative that just in the announcement of NXT being part of Survivor Series, that they fired the first shot and that NXT came out guns a-blazing. And the show closed out with Triple H's arms around Shayna Baszler and Adam Cole and the other NXT stars in the background. And the fans chanted, "We are NXT." And that was a great show. Great, great, great show. Fantastic show. Man, what a great show. You can't do it again. You can't. I'm sorry. Everybody's saying, wow, this is better stuff than we've seen in a long time. They should do this every week. You can't. You can't have an invasion every week. You can't have outside interference like this every week. If you saw 1999, 2000 Nitro, you understand why. You have to build the stories up. Now, does SmackDown need improvement? Hell yes, it does. Has it had a rough start on Fox? Absolutely. But can you debut 30 new wrestlers every single SmackDown? No. To be honest, anybody could have written this show, right? Anybody could have written a decent show if they said, okay, you've got NXT, what are you going to do? It's like, okay, shit, all right, so I guess maybe I'll have the Undisputed Era come out against The Miz, and then John Morrison will make his debut because we know that WWE signed him, Miz and Morrison against Undisputed Era. There you go, right? So there's good ideas everywhere. So my point is you can't do this every week, and you don't want to burn through all these matchups in the 3 weeks leading up to Survivor Series, and you don't want to burn through this hot invasion angle. You know, I know they want this to happen, and I know they need something to happen, but if you're going to do this invasion angle like super hot, you can't do it again. So you got to go all the way. I'm talking about Triple H, Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, Shane, representing the different companies, and go all the way with this and have Shane and Vince face off, and NXT is leaving scorched earth. 100%, you have to go 100% with it, or you got to go small with it. You can't go in the middle, because if you go in the middle, you're going to burn people out on it for next time. So I say make it a little bit hotter the next couple weeks. Let people anticipate it. And, you know, one thing you could do is after a couple more invasions, you can have Vince fucking put his foot down. No more invasions. That's it. Here's the matches. Nobody goes in each other's show or else you'll be suspended. and you have some face-offs, but no more physicality. Too much physicality these days burns people out, I think. And that's the SmackDown review. Of course it was a great show. It was a fantastic show. I enjoyed it very much. I hope the guys and girls from the WWE and the crew and the wrestlers and the talent and everybody are safely on their way back. What a crazy situation. I don't know if we'll ever get the full story about what happened there, but I'm glad they're on their way back. And I'm glad you joined me for this bonus episode of Total Engagement, which will be a Patreon exclusive. If you get on our Patreon at WrestlingFan.com, God dang it, that's not right, WrestlingFriend.com, you can get all of our old TV reviews, which we've done for the last week or so now, AEW, NXT, the one from the week before, and then last week, SmackDown last weekend, Raw this week, as well as SmackDown Now and Crown Jewel. All that is already up there. I've been podcasting, folks. And you're going to get TV reviews, and I'm not going to do it justice. Go over to WrestlingFriend.com and check out what we have to offer you guys. Please support the show. I want to keep doing this and keep it as ad-free and as often as it is right now. Please help us support the show. Make sure to visit me over on Twitter at Total Engage Show and also at Matt Coon Music. I might be picking some fights lately. I might be defending myself lately. I'm a little bit tired of people insulting me. So I'm starting to strike back a little bit. So it's a little bit of fun. Just, you know, it's just one of those things, guys. One of those things. And this is one of those things, which is a bonus show. And also on our Patreon. Patreon members, stay tuned because I'm going to give y'all another show this weekend. And guys, sign up for the Patreon and listen to Total Engagement Monday through Friday every day with me, your wrestling friend. I want you to be part of my wrestling family, but I'm your wrestling friend on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon.